I have only 5 minutes, but it can be 10. Great song, thank you. Great portion. In Ephesians chapter 3, the Apostle Paul says this statement. He says, "For this reason I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man." Paul is writing this epistle from prison. And he is interested in something much greater than his circumstances. He is interested in the Ephesians knowing that it is not that the circumstances that he finds himself, which is a worrying matter, but something that is much deeper than that. I say it again. The Apostle Paul, he says that, "For this reason, I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles." 3:1. Then he connects it to verse 14 again. "For this reason, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." The expression here is that he is brought face to face with God. Now, there are many ways by which we pray. There are things that we pray formally. We can pray in posture. We can bow our knees. We can pray with accent and diction like the Pharisees did, right? But he is now amazed at the fact that he has been brought into the presence of God. There is tremendous reverence for God. And at the same time, in chapter 3, there is boldness and access with confidence. It's interesting, isn't it? It's a paradox. You are going into the presence of God, there's tremendous reverence, but then as you go in, with that reverence, there's confidence and there's boldness and there's access. Can that happen together? It's almost like a paradox. But I want to say something today briefly. We'll expound it on Sunday, and the remaining thing is it? And that is this. There is an objective aspect that he is constantly reminding them of. And then there is a subjective reality that they must know. What is the objective aspect? The objective aspect in chapter 3 is that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory. That they would know what that is. In Ephesians chapter 1, he prays to them that they would know. These are the things that the believer has by virtue of Christ having finished the work on the cross for us and accomplished redemption, and also by virtue of his work being accepted before the Father, having been justified, the Father having been justified as a result of that work being done for us, is exalted his Son and placed him at his own right hand, by virtue of which you and I have found a place in him through faith in Christ and have been given that position. That position, therefore, being given, causes you and me to be recipients of the riches of his grace, which is actually the riches, it says here, he will grant you according to the riches, not just of his grace, of his glory. This is the objective part that he is reminding the Ephesians of, that they must not lose sight ever of. You understand that? Now, this is the key. It is not just for them to live there as a doctrinal church, soundly taught, because they were that in Revelation 2, 1 to 7. But they must also understand that there is a subjective reality which they must understand, which will call them into practicality in life. And if they don't understand this subjective reality, they will live theoretically in the realm of who they are in Christ positionally, but will never be able to relate who they are in Christ positionally to the circumstances in which they might find themselves experientially. I hope you understand that. We teach positional truth here. Who I am in Christ. We teach our position very clearly and dogmatically. People have memorized the 33 things happen to them, the 100 things happen in the point of salvation. There's an amazing statement that Gideon made in chapter 6 of the book of Judges. He says, if we are who you say we are, God, as your people, then why have all these things happened to us? If we say who you are, if the God of our father said that he had, you know, all these privileges were given to us, then why have all these things? Why are we subservient to the Midianites? Have you ever heard these statements? If God is so powerful, why he's allowing these things to happen in the world? If God has all knowledge and he knew man would sin, why he created man? You know that stuff, right? We find all these guys on the streets, they talk to us about these things. They always want to point something. The believer is very unique. This is what Paul is saying. I'm closing. He said this. I also want you to know, he says, my prayer is that you will be strengthened in the inner man. Now we know the inner man, the outer man, the inner man, correct? 2 Corinthians 4:16, Romans 7:22, and here it is. At the point of salvation, we were given a new nature. 2 Peter 1:4, Pastor Shibali spoke about it. That inner man is the new disposition that we have, the human spirit regenerated. That human spirit, that regenerated aspect of the human spirit, it needs to be strengthened. We have positional truth that's here, correct? Right? We have illumination of the Holy Spirit in terms of the Word of God. But by itself, we are not able to experience victory unless the inner man is empowered. And the inner man, it says, can be only empowered here, that you would be strengthened with might through his spirit. In the empowering of the inner man is through the Holy Spirit. It is the empowerment that we receive in the inner man that is absolutely crucial and necessary for us to experience truth that is objective in a circumstantial manner. I'll read a verse to you. Philippians chapter 1. Verse 12. So you and I at some time would be confronted with many things in our lives. Remember this, our circumstances, situations that we find ourselves in have been allowed by God so that we would learn how to function not just objectively, which is absolutely crucial, but that we would experience who God is in our subjective reality. That we would go from knowledge into experience. We would go from gnosis into epinosis. God wants us to. In chapter 1, he talks of the fullness. That the body of Christ on the earth is the fullness. He says, joined to the head from whom? Remember that? So that you might, which is the fullness. The body is the fullness of him that filleth all in. That's a positional aspect. But in chapter 3, he says that you might be filled with the fullness of God. He does not want us to just know that the body of Christ is the sum totality of who Christ is on the earth, but that it would function effectively with that life. He says that in Ephesians 3. He repeats it in that life. And he prays specifically that the church would know it. Does the church understand that? Do we understand that? Do we understand the potential that we have? So let's look at this. But I want you to know, brethren, that the things which have happened to me, he's in prison in Philippi. I mean, in the book of Philippians, he's writing. I want you to know, brethren, the things that happened to me are horrible. I just want you to know how these guys mistreat me. I want you to know what they do to me. They chain me. I want you to know how many times I'm eating a day. Now, he does use that later on in his autobiography of saying how much, what is suffering really meant. What is he saying? I want you to know the things which have happened to me have actually turned out for the what? Huh? Hey, I just want you to know that all the things that you guys like did, you know, resulted for the gospel being preached much more, and I became a stronger person than that. Do we write like that? Huh? We have our pity parties. Santosh calls it a tea party. When the message comes from the pastor, go around, talk about how they agree, disagree, all that nonsense. You know what the Apostle Paul is saying to the Ephesians? Me being a prisoner is not the issue, because there is something that God wants to do in the inner man by strengthening it that would give you perspective beyond me being a prisoner. We say it again. Being strengthened in the inner man would bring you to the place where you would enter into a glorious subjective reality of who God is in your personal life as a believer. So much so that even though I am in prison, that is not going to affect you even though I am there. You can pray for my deliverance, but that is not the only thing in life that you should be concerned about right now. You must be concerned of things, greater things than that. Spurgeon said there is the unsaved believer, there is the unsaved person, then there is the saved Christian, then there is an average Christian, and then there is the Christian that wants to go beyond and have his life like this. Many believers are thankful. Yes, thank you, Jesus, I'm saved. Thank you, Jesus, I'm eternally secure. Thank you, Jesus, I'm going to heaven. Great. Some believers say, thank you, God, for blessing me and blessing me and blessing me. And yeah. But there are other believers that would like to be thrown into the plan. They would like to be thrown into the plan of God, wherein in the plan of God, they begin to enter into the subject reality of what it means to be strengthened in the inner man. The strengthening of the inner man gives the objective reality definition in terms of bringing it to life. I know that I have eternal life in John 3:16, but do I know what the abundant life is all about in John 10:10? Yes, I am in this circumstance, but this circumstance has worked out for the furtherance of the gospel. In 5:7 of the book of Hebrews, Jesus Christ offered up prayers unto his Father with strong cryings and groans, correct? He offered it up to his Father. What kind of prayers, what was that prayer offered up? He said, he offered it up so that to him who would save him? No, out of death. He didn't pray so that his Father would save him from going to the cross. He prayed in such a way that the Father would raise him from the dead. And he was heard because of his piety. You understand what I'm saying? It is time for babes to become adults. He said again, it is time for the babes in the Christian church to become adults. Can you metabolize a newborn child? Now we have mothers that nursing mothers and all. Can they just basically decide, okay, next Sunday the kid is going to have gongura mutton, biryani? No, milk. Metabolizing slowly and slowly. When we became believers in Christ for the first time, we were on milk. Because the inner man was only able to receive milk. But as we progressed and grew, the inner man began to metabolize solid foods. It was not given instantaneously. And therefore capacity was given. So God releases into his plan through capacity that is developed. He just doesn't put anyone in the plan. He just releases. People say, I don't know what I would have done if I was in that place. You will never be in that place because you're not there yet. You understand that? Therefore, don't be preoccupied with what you will encounter. Don't live in the fear, rather, of what you will encounter. Don't get preoccupied from the circumstances you are in. Remember that those circumstances and situations are necessary for us to experience the subjective reality, for us to experience who God is in terms of the objective realm, for us to understand who He is experientially in our lives. I know God is faithful. It says in the Bible, God is faithful. He cannot deny Himself. Yes, He's faithful. Yes, I know that He's faithful. But how do I experience His faithfulness unless I'm in the position where you are seemingly forsaken, where everything seems lost? Then you begin to experience the faithfulness of God through the Holy Spirit, and you begin to exercise your free volition in faith to go and walk in a direction that pleases Him, even though circumstances around us are contrary. So the Apostle Paul is saying, listen, I want you, one of the things in the prayers, for this reason I bow my knees before the Father. He's telling the Ephesians, don't worry about it, I'm in jail. But I want you to understand, there is an objective reality. I've communicated to you in the first two chapters and three, but now there is the subjective aspect of it, and I want you to let God work on the inside what He has said about Him, of what we have through Christ. On the inside. You know what we do? We limit God from working in on the inside. We limit God from working in on the inside. How do we limit Him? By responding negatively to the plan. By responding negatively to the plan. And God has provided a way by which we can experience the more than overcoming life. That's why it says you are more than conquerors, because of the subjective aspect. And the reality of who He is as He's revealed Himself in the Word becomes the present possession of the believer. So the Apostle Paul can say very clearly, for me to live is Christ. It is accounted, not only all those who live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer. He says that very clearly. He is realizing that there is something inside the inner man that God wants to do through His Spirit. So when people look at a person and wonder, how in God's name did the person ever go through these fires? And they start asking the person, thinking that the methodology will actually deliver them in their experience. It is that person's relationship with God that allowed God to work in their lives, in their hearts, that caused this person. That's why the fear of man is a snare. That's why the righteous are bold as a lion. And I'm so saddened sometimes when I see pity parties. And I'm so saddened by the cowardly approach that we can, as believers, take just to preserve our lives, and we lose out on the aspect of God working in something deep in our lives. Who is He talking to here? His friends? The body of Christ. And if there is an attack, Pastor Shibeli comes here, he sees something unique in our country and what's going on. But we don't see it. Why? We are familiar with fighting with each other. This problem, this person, that person. He comes here, he sees potential. What do we see? Poison. That's what it is. And Paul is saying, I wish, he's praying this prayer. He's not talking to the Ephesians, he's praying. And he says, I wish you understood this like I have done it. Who was I? Persecutor, blasphemer, maligner of the church. Look at what God did to me. He took a hold of me and He saved me by His grace. And He so radically transformed in His heart. And that is the way He basically gives His life for the sake of the gospel. This next week, John and Sudha and Suresh, one of them, are going with him to visit the 50 pastors in the Andhra. And I told John, Pastor, what was the possibility that you would think that you would be going there to these men? Not affiliation. Pastor Shibeli has these numbers. I have to write to him. Wrong numbers. We're not interested in the numbers. We're interested in people. It doesn't matter whether greater grace or not. But think about it. These men have no one to teach them. They want to know the Bible. Imagine going there by faith. What are you going to give them? Information. What will keep them on the field? Information? No. Yes, also transformation. God wants to take the information and he wants to convert it into transformation. So he really puts us where the money is at. You know the doctrine of persecution? Okay, I will allow it to come to you. Now tell me the doctrine, Brian. Persecution from the Genesis to Revelation. What is it? You wrote an ABD, no? And guess what? When we look at things coming our way, we think it's the devil. And so we pray, God, the devil's attacking me. God is saying, the devil has not yet come. It's not the devil, it's my sin nature. My sin nature is not the devil, but I can blame the devil. Then it's the devil. Then I say, God, it's my sin nature. God says, no, it's not your sin nature, it's the devil. Then I say, it's the devil. He says, no, it's the world system. Okay, I'm confused now. And God has given us a provision against the devil, against the world system, and against our old sin nature. And these three things are redundant in relationship to the cross. All the three things we have victory over. And Paul is saying, I want you to know something. I want you to be strengthened with his might. Where in the? See, don't ever take for granted coming to the local assembly. You cannot get in the pulpit what you get in your home studying. The Spirit is not speaking to a person alone. He does, but he's speaking to the church. It was very clear this conference. Because the body is moving forward collectively. And in our collective moving forward, God calls different people. But it is done in the context of the... When I came back from Bible school, I came to my home church that sent me. I came here. I didn't have a plan in Baltimore. In Baltimore, people came and they said, "Yo, come here, go there, go." I just prayed, I came here, and Pastor Carl was there, and I stayed there until God opened the door for me to come here. I said, "I'm coming to my home church, and if let my home church pray, and let my home church decide where I'm called." I talked to the people concerned, and I'm there by faith, I pray, and it came. God's divine order. All kinds of problems broke loose. I said, "I don't want to be a part of the problem." But then God told me, "It is not the problem. It is who is with you in the situation that matters the most." There is no excuse before God. There are no exit routes before God. Paul said, "For me to live is what? Christ, and to die is gain." So allow God to work in. Allow God to work in. For God who is at work, in me. Philippians 3, 9 and 10. That I may know him first, the, what is it? Say that, we close. The, what? Why he did not say the fellowship of his suffering first? Because the power of his resurrection gave the Apostle Paul authority in the inner man. Now, suffering took on a fellowship for Christ's sake. You understand that? Do you understand that? When there is identification, where you become one with the other person, the person that becomes one with the other person that is willing to condescend has something in the inner man that gives him the ability to condescend. You understand that? He has the ability to condescend because that is the Holy Spirit giving him the power to do it. So Paul is willing to go to prison for the sake of the gospel. He is not afraid of being put into prison because he has something inside in the inner man that he has that gives him the power to do this. And even though he is praying, yes, pray for me in 1:18, that deliverance may happen through the supply of the Spirit. That is not his main theme in these letters. His main theme in these letters is to show them something much more than the circumstances that he is experiencing in prison. I love that, Rima. How was your trip to China and India? Oh, it was crazy. The guys at the airports, this, that, no. No. No one will be motivated to go on any mission field. How was it? Awesome. Response, faith, capacity, potential. It's time to fan the coals, if they are burning out, make some decisions. We're going to talk about it on Sunday. Make some decisions. Move up in faith. Make some decisions. Go trust God by faith. You know, not to give excuses of what has happened before, what is the past. It should make to stir up for the spiritual gift that is there inside you, O Timothy, to get excited about the things of the kingdom of God. Amen. So read for your home assignment Ephesians chapter 1, verses 15 to the end of the chapter, and read Ephesians 3, because we will be doing some studies on it, Ephesians 3, 14 onwards, and do a comparative study on the prayer, on this particular prayer of the Apostle Paul. So there is the objective reality. The work is finished. Christ is at the right hand of the Father. I am seated with him in heaven. I know. And then there is the what? And we are called not to just renew our minds. In Romans 12, 1 and 2, we are also called to be filled with the Spirit in Ephesians 5, 18. These two things go hand in hand together. And the deeper we are renewed in our thinking, the greater opportunity for us to experience in our lives that process of renewal that is taking place. And with that, we can have tremendous confessions of faith that we can make. And we can believe and stir other people up in those confessions of faith. Father, we thank you for this evening. We pray that you bless each one in this place today, and we pray for specific callings in the lives of people. We pray for our missionaries. We pray that they would be encouraged. They would not live in the discouragements, in the thought processes, entertain doubts about who they are, their calling, the place. That they would be still before you and know that you are God. That they would enter into the subjective reality of what the Apostle Paul is saying. That they would be filled with the Spirit of God in the inner man, that they would be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the height, breadth, length, depth of your love. And they would be filled with the fullness of God, and their churches would vibrate with that enthusiasm and with brand new motivations. We pray that there would be encouragement, edification, even though there would be reproof and rebuke and exhortation, admonishment, but they would have life and they would have it more abundantly. Father, we pray. We thank you for the finished work. We thank you for the Word of God. We thank you for the Holy Spirit that lives in us. We thank you for our past teacher, shepherds that you've given us after our own hearts. We thank you for faithful friends in the body of Christ. We thank you for the transitions that you take us to give us a practical understanding of reality in life, that you live in us, that you walk amongst the candlesticks, that there is always a fourth man in the furnace. In our personal lives, Father, that you are always with us. You will never leave us nor forsake us. We thank you. We praise you. Once again, we lift up this nation to you. We pray for the decisions that were made in economically, financially. We just pray for order and not confusion. Father, we pray for our parents today in a special way. My dad and mom, we pray for Pastor Benny's mom. Pray for Christopher's mom, had a surgery. We pray for Pastor Anil's mom too, that had a surgery. We pray for Asa, quicken her physically, Lord, that she would be back on her feet. We pray. Pray for Pastor Paul Huligoji, who will be, I think, visiting us on Friday. We pray that you will touch his condition. We pray for Pastor Carl today, as the doctor said that virus has arrested itself. We pray for Pastor Duke Houghton. We pray for Pastor Morrison. We pray by faith. We pray, Lord, we pray for these people in our churches. We pray for the men of God. Even Pastor Shala today, touch him. Pray for Pastor Shibeli's condition, that he gets these dizzy spells. He said he hasn't had it since he's come to Asia. May he be healed. And anyone that needs a touch, anyone that needs, recognize that the outward aspect of our lives may be there and we can't change, but God gives us tremendous assurance in our hearts. That is the strengthening of the inner man. Father, we thank you. We pray for Sarah's mom, who's battling with lung cancer. In Vellore, she has, and we pray for her also, and especially for a specific healing, Father. We praise you, we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Don't forget.